Here we go. We're here again on this beautiful day. I'm even wearing blue today because this is the first Saturday of the month, and also in ordinary time, church actually establishes that you can celebrate the Blessed Virgin Mary on each Saturday of ordinary time. But this is kind of a special Saturday again because it's first Saturday. So if you haven't gone to a first Saturday devotion, please, I encourage you to either visit us on Facebook, on this ministry site, Faith, Hope, Love, and you can find a link where you can pray and celebrate First Saturday with the experts, the Marians of the Immaculate Conception. To me, that's been one of the most powerful spiritual exercises that I do all month, and I know it makes a big difference. Tomorrow we have an awesome feast that takes precedence even over the third Sunday of Ordinary Time, the presentation of our Lord as a baby in Jerusalem. But here we're going to just celebrate office of readings and hopefully a few other, maybe evening prayer, but probably just office of readings for Saturday of the third week. Lord, open my lips and my mouth will proclaim your praise. Come, let us worship God, who holds the world and its wonders in his creating hand. Psalm 95, a call to praise God. Come, let us sing to the Lord and shout with joy to the rock who saves us. Let us approach him with praise and thanksgiving and sing joyful songs to the Lord. Come, let us worship the Lord, God who holds the world and its wonders in his creating hand. The Lord is God, the mighty God, the great King over all the gods. He holds in his hands the depths of the earth and the highest mountains as well. He made the sea, it belongs to him, the dry land too, for it was formed by his hands. Come, let us worship God, who holds the world and its wonders in his creating hand, bending the knee before the Lord our Maker, for he is our God, and we are his people, the flock he shepherds. Come, let us worship God, who holds the world and its wonders in his creating hand. Today, listen to the voice of the Lord. Do not grow stubborn as your fathers did in the wilderness when at Meribah and Menizah they challenged me and provoked me, although they had seen all of my works. Come, let us worship God, who holds the world and its wonders in his creating hand. 40 years I endured that generation. I said, they are a people whose hearts go astray, and they do not know my ways. So I swore in my anger, they shall not enter into my rest. Come, let us worship God, who holds the world and its wonders in his creating hand. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Come, let us worship God, who holds the world and its wonders in his creating hand. Come now, Almighty King, help us your name to sing. Help us to praise, Father all-glorious, over all-victorious. Come and reign over us, Ancient of Days. Come now, incarnate Word, who for us death endured. Our prayer attend. Come and your people bless, and give your word success. Fill us with righteousness, Savior and Friend. Come, Holy Comforter, your sacred witness bear in this glad hour. To us your grace impart, and rule in every heart. Never from us depart, Spirit of Power. To you, O Trinity, eternal praises be forevermore. Your sovereign majesty may we in glory see, and to eternity love and adore. Let us praise the Lord for his mercy, for the wonderful things he has done for men. Psalm 107, Thanksgiving and Deliverance. This is God's message to the sons of Israel, the good news of peace proclaimed through Jesus Christ. Acts 10:36 is our sentence, to help us put it in the context of Christ. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his love endures forever. Let them say this, the Lord's redeemed, whom he redeemed from the hand of the foe, and gathered from far off lands, from east and west, north and south. Some wandered in the desert, in the wilderness, finding no way to a city that they could dwell in. Hungry they were and thirsty, their soul was fainting within them. Then they cried to the Lord in their need, and he rescued them from their distress. He led them along the right way to reach a city they could dwell in. Let them thank the Lord for his love, for the wonders he does for men. for he satisfies the thirsty soul. He fills the hungry with good things. Some lay in darkness and in gloom, prisoners in misery and chains, having defied the words of God and spurned the counsels of the Most High. He crushed their spirit with toil. They stumbled, there was no one to help them. Then they cried to the Lord in their need, and he rescued them from their distress. He led them forth from darkness and gloom and broke their chains to pieces. Let them thank the Lord for his goodness, for the wonders he does for men, for he bursts the gates of bronze and shatters the iron bars. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. In honor of Mary's gifts from God our Father, we ask that we come to know your fatherly love through the intercession of Mary. And we ask for everything that we need most for today and for this week and for this year. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners. Spread the effective grace of thy flame of love over all of humanity, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Let us praise the Lord for his mercy and for the wonderful things he has done for men. Men have seen the works of God, the marvels he has done. Is Antiphon 2, and we begin part 2 of Psalm 107. Some were sick on account of their sins and afflicted on account of their guilt. They had a loathing for every food. They came close to the gates of death. Then they cried to the Lord in their need, and he rescued them from their distress. He sent forth his word to heal them and saved their life from the grave. Men have seen the works of God, the marvels he has done. Let them thank the Lord for his love, for the wonders he does for men. Let them offer a sacrifice of thanks and tell of his deeds with rejoicing. Some sailed to the sea in ships to trade on the mighty waters. These men have seen the Lord's deeds, the wonders he does in the deep. Men have seen the works of God, the marvels he has done. For he spoke, he summoned the gale, raising up the waves of the sea, tossed up to heaven, then into the deep. Their soul melted away in their distress. They staggered, reeled like drunken men, for all their skill was gone. Then they cried to the Lord in their need, and he rescued them from their distress. Men have seen the works of God, the marvels he has done. He stilled the storm to a whisper. All the waves of the sea were hushed. They rejoiced because of the calm, and he led them to the haven they desired. Men have seen the works of God, the marvels he has done. Let them thank the Lord for his love, the wonders he does for men. Let them exalt him in the gathering of the people and praise him in the meeting of the elders. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. In honor of Mary's gifts from God our Savior, Jesus Christ and her Savior, turn the gaze of compassion on us, Mother, and bring about God's grace through your offering of your merits and prayers. Take care to save us from ourselves. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners. Spread the effective grace of thy flame of love over all of humanity, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Men have seen the works of God, the marvels he has done. Those who love the Lord will see and rejoice. They will understand his loving kindness. He changes streams into a desert, springs of water into thirsty ground, fruitful land into a salty waste, for the wickedness of those who live there. But he changes desert into streams, thirsty ground into springs of water. There he settles the hungry, and they build a city to dwell in. They sow fields and plant their vines. These yield crops for the harvest. He blesses them. They grow in numbers. He does not let their herds decrease. He pours contempt upon the princes, makes them wander in trackless wastes. They diminish, are reduced to nothing by oppression, evil, and sorrow. But he raises the needy from distress and makes families numerous as a flock. The upright see it and rejoice, but all who do wrong are silenced. Whoever is wise, let him heed these things and consider the love of the Lord. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Those who love the Lord will see and rejoice. They will understand his loving kindness in honor of Mary's gifts from the Holy Spirit. Fill the hungry with good things, Lord. Lead the church out of the shadows of death into this fruit of your Spirit. Let us experience it. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women in honor of the relationship Mary, the Mother of God, had with the Holy Spirit. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners. Spread the effective grace of thy flame of love over all of humanity, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. In this part, we had the opportunity to receive the gift of the Psalms and pray from them, addressing prayers to God. Now we switch to the part of the office that is more lecture or attentive listening oriented, where we listen to God's word. Your truth, O God, is high as the clouds. Lord, your goodness is deep as the ocean. And then we go over and we can begin. Our last, they're going to be kind of long because we're transitioning back away from the optional lectionary. A reading from the book of Genesis. We start in chapter 25, do parts of it. I also intended to do chapter 27, part of chapter, but I don't know that we will have time. Jacob and Esau, twins with very different destinies. These are the days of the years of Abraham's life, 175 years. Abraham breathed his last and died in a good old age, an old man and full of years, and was gathered to his people. Isaac and Ishmael, his sons, buried him in the cave of Machpelah, in the field of Ephron, the son of Zohar the Hittite, east of Mamre, the field which Abraham purchased from the Hittites. There Abraham was buried with Sarah his wife. After the death of Abraham, God blessed Isaac his son, and Isaac dwelt in Beer-lah-hahal-roli. These are the descendants of Isaac, Abraham's son. Abraham was the father of Isaac, and Isaac was 40 years old when he took to wife Rebekah, the daughter of Bethuel, the Arminite of Paddan Aram, the sister of Laban, the Arameran. And Isaac prayed to the Lord for his wife because she was barren, and the Lord granted his prayer, and Rebekah, his wife, conceived. The children struggled together within her, and she said, Why do I live? So she went to inquire of the Lord, and the Lord said to her, two nations are in your womb, and two peoples born of you shall be divided. The one shall be stronger than the other. The elder shall serve the younger. When her days to be delivered were fulfilled, behold, there were twins in her womb. The first came forth red, all his body like a hairy mantle, so they called his name Esau. Afterward his brother came forth, and his hand had taken hold of Esau's heel, so his name was called Jacob. Isaac was 60 years old when she bore them. When the boys grew up, Esau was a skillful hunter, a man of the field, while Jacob was a quiet man, dwelling in tents. Isaac loved Esau, because he ate of his game. But Rebekah loved Jacob. Once when Jacob was boiling pottage, Esau came in from the field, and he was famished. And Esau said to Jacob, let me eat some of that red pottage, for I am famished. Therefore his name was called Edom. Jacob said, first sell me your birthright. Esau said, I am about to die. Of what use is a birthright to me? Jacob said, "Swear to me first." So he swore to him and sold his birthright to Jacob. Then Jacob gave Esau bread and pottage of lentils, and he ate and drank, and rose and went his way. Thus Esau despised his birthright. When Isaac was old and his eyes were dim so that he could not see, he called Esau, his older son, and said to him, "My son," and he answered, "Here I am." He said, "Behold, I am old. I do not know the day of my death. Now then, take your weapons, your quiver and your bow, and go out to the field and hunt game for me, and prepare for me savory food such as I love, and bring it to me that I may eat, that I may bless you before I die." Now Rebekah was listening when Isaac spoke to his son Esau. "I heard your father speak to your brother Esau. Bring me game and prepare for me savory food that I may eat it and bless you before the Lord, before I die. Now therefore, my son, obey my word as I command you. Go to the flock and fetch me 2 good kids that I may prepare from them savory food for your father such as he loves. And you shall bring it to your father to eat so that he may bless you before he dies." But Jacob said to Rebekah, his mother, "Behold, my brother Esau is a hairy man, and I am a smooth man. Perhaps my father will feel me, and I shall seem to be mocking him, and bring a curse upon myself and not a blessing." His mother said to him, "Upon me be your curse, my son. Only obey my word, and go, fetch them to me." So he went and took them and brought them to his mother, and his mother prepared savory food, such as his father loved. Then Rebekah took the best garments of Esau, her older son, which were with her in the house, and put them on Jacob, her younger son, and the skins of the kids she put upon her hands and upon the smooth part of her neck, of his neck. And she gave the savory food and the bread which she had prepared into the hand of her son Jacob. So he went in to his father and said, "My father." And he said, "Here I am." "Who are you, my son?" Jacob said to his father, "I am Esau, your firstborn. I have done as you told me. Now sit up and eat of my game, that you may bless me." But Isaac said to his son, "How is it that you have found it so quickly, my son?" He answered, "Because the Lord your God granted me success." Then Isaac said to Jacob, "Come near, that I may feel you, my son, to know whether you are really my son Esau or not." So Jacob went near to Isaac his father, who felt him, and said, "The voice is Jacob's voice, but the hands are the hands of Esau." And he did not recognize him, because his hands were hairy, like his brother Esau's hands. So he blessed him. He said, "Are you really my son Esau?" He answered, "I am." Then he said, "Bring it to me, that I may eat of my son's game and bless you." So he brought it to him, and he ate, and he brought him wine, and he drank. Then his father Isaac said to him, "Come near and kiss me, my son." So he came near and kissed him, and he smelled the smell of his garments and blessed him and said, "See, the smell of my son is as the smell of a field which the Lord has blessed. May God give you the dew of heaven and of the fatness of the earth and plenty of grain and wine. Let people serve you and nations bow down to you. Be Lord over your brothers, and may your mother's sons bow down to you. Cursed be everyone who curses you, and blessed be everyone who blesses you." As soon as Isaac had finished blessing Jacob, when Jacob had scarcely gone out from the presence of Isaac his father, Esau his brother came in from his hunting. He also prepared savory food and brought it to his father. Then he said to his father, "Let my father arise and eat of his son's game, that you may bless me." His father Isaac said to him, "Who are you?" He answered, "I am your son, your firstborn, Esau." Then Isaac trembled violently and said, "Who was it then that hunted game and brought it to me, and I ate it all before you came, and I have blessed him? Yes, and he shall be blessed." Then Esau heard the words of his father, and he cried out with an exceedingly great and bitter cry, and said to his father, "Bless me, even me also, O my father." Responsory prayer is taken from John's Gospel in Sirach. Full of grace, full of truth, the Word lived among us, and from his fullness we have all received grace upon grace. The law was given through Moses, but grace and truth come through Jesus Christ. Moses commanded the observance of the law as the heritage of the assemblies of Jacob, but grace and truth come through Jesus Christ. And for our second reading, I have another long reading from the letter of Clement of Rome, one of those earliest documents outside the New Testament, traditionally considered to be a pope. So we have a bunch of different segments kind of added together. The ministers of the grace of God have by the Holy Spirit spoken of repentance, and the Lord of all things has himself declared with an oath regarding it, "As I live, says the Lord, I desire not the death of the sinner, but rather his repentance." Adding, moreover, this gracious declaration, "Repent, O house of Israel, of your iniquity. Say to the children of my people, though your sins reach from earth to heaven, and though they be redder than scarlet and blacker than sackcloth, yet if you turn to me with your whole heart and say, Father, I will listen to you as to a holy people." And in another place he speaks thus, "Wash you and become clean. Put away the wickedness of your souls from before my eyes, and cease from your evil ways, and learn to do well. Seek out judgment, deliver the oppressed, judge the fatherless, and see that justice is done to the widow, and come and let us reason together." He declares, "Though your sins be like scarlet, be like crimson, I will make them white as snow. Though they be like scarlet, I will whiten them with like wool. And if you be willing and obey me, you shall eat the good of the land. But if you refuse and will not hearken unto me, the sword shall devour you, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken these things." Desiring therefore that all his beloved should be partakers of repentance, he has by his almighty will established these declarations. For Christ is of those who are humble-minded, and not of those who exalt themselves over his flock. Our Lord Jesus Christ, the scepter of the majesty of God, did not come in the pomp of pride or arrogance, although he might have done so, but in a lowly condition, as the Holy Spirit had declared regarding him. For he says, "Lord, who has believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed?" We have declared our message in his presence. He is, as it were, a child, and like a root in thirsty ground. He has no form or glory. Yes, we saw him, and he had no form nor comeliness, but his form was without eminence. Yes, deficient in comparison with the ordinary form of men. He is a man exposed to stripes and sufferings and acquainted with the endurance of grief. His countenance was turned away. He was despised and not esteemed. He bears our iniquities, and it is in sorrow for our sakes. Yet we supposed that on his own account he was exposed to labor and stripes and affliction. But he was wounded for our transgressions and bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we were healed. All we, like sheep, had gone astray. Every man had wandered in his own way. And the Lord had delivered him up for our sins, while he, in the midst of his sufferings, opened not his mouth. Let us then, men and brethren, with all energy act the part of soldiers in accordance with his holy commandments. Let us consider those who serve under our generals, with what order, obedience, and submissiveness they perform the things which are commanded them. All are not perfects, nor commanders of 1,000, nor of 100, nor of 50, nor of the like. But each one of his own rank performs the things commanded by the king and the generals. The great cannot subsist without the small, nor the small without the great. There is a kind of mixture in all things, and thence arises mutual advantage. Let us take our body for an example. The head is nothing without the feet, and the feet are nothing without the head. Yes, and the very smallest members of our body are necessary and useful to the whole body. But all work harmoniously together and under one common rule for the preservation of the whole body. Let our whole body then be preserved in Christ Jesus, and let every one be subject to his neighbor, just as in his special gift that was given him. Let the strong not despise the weak, and let the weak show respect unto the strong. Let the rich man provide for the wants of the poor, and let the poor man bless God because he has given him one by whom his need may be supplied. Let the wise man display his wisdom not by mere words, but through good deeds. Let the humble not bear witness to himself, but leave witness to be borne to him by another. Let him who is pure in the flesh not grow proud of it and boast, knowing that it was another who bestowed on him the gift of continence, which is like chastity. Let us consider then, brethren, of what matter we were made, who and what manner of beings we came into the world, as it was made out of a sepulchre, and from other darkness he who made us and fashioned us, having prepared his bountiful gifts for us before we were born, introduced us into his world. You, who is faithful in all generations, just in judgment, wonderful in strength and majesty, with wisdom creating and with understanding fixing the things that were made, who art good among them that are being saved, and faithful among them that trust in you, O merciful and compassionate one, forgive our iniquities and offenses and transgressions and trespasses. Reckon not every sin of your servants and handmaidens, but you will purify us with the purification of your truth and direct our steps, that we may walk in holiness of heart and do what is good and well-pleasing in your sight and in the sight of our rulers. Yes, Lord, make your face shine upon us for good in peace, and we shall be shielded by your mighty hand and delivered from every sin by your uplifted arm. And deliver from us those who hate us wrongfully. Give concord and peace to us and to all who dwell upon the earth, even as you gave to our fathers when they called upon you in faith and in truth, submissive as we are to your almighty and excellent name. Right it is, therefore, to approach examples so good and so many, and submit the neck and fuller part of obedience, in order that, undisturbed by vain sedition, we may attain unto the goal set before us, in truth, wholly free from blame. Joy and gladness will you afford us, if you become obedient to the words written by us through the Holy Spirit. Root out the lawless wrath of your jealousy, according to the intercessions which we have made for peace and unity in this letter. We have sent men faithful and discreet, whose conversation from youth to old age has been blameless among us. The same shall be witness among you, between you and us. This we have done, that you may know that our whole concern has been, and is, that you may be speedily at peace. Send back speedily to us in peace and with joy these our messengers to you, Claudius, Epiphanius, and Valerius, Bitho, with Fortunius, that they may the sooner announce to us the peace and harmony we so eagerly desire and long for among you, and that we may the more quickly rejoice over the good order re-established among you. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you and with all everywhere that are called of God through him, by whom be to him glory, honor, power, majesty, and eternal dominion from everlasting to everlasting. Amen. Responsory prayer. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom should I fear? The Lord is the refuge of my life. Of whom should I be afraid? Even if I walk in the dark valley, I shall fear no evil, for you are there beside me. The Lord is the refuge of my life. Of whom should I be afraid? As we venerate the glorious memory of the most holy Virgin Mary, grant we pray, O Lord, through her intercession, that we too may merit to receive from the fullness of your grace. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, God, forever and ever. Response, Amen. Let us praise the Lord and give him thanks. So again, this was a wonderful day. It's a good day to kind of unpack that story, to consider how Scripture itself is meant to be read in different senses. It's meant to be read, of course, at the level of history, at the level of what the original author intended to say, the literal sense, but there's also spiritual senses of Scripture. And that story in particular has been interpreted in the spiritual sense many, many times. Because if you think about it, the realities that we have here are two sons of a father and mother. Those are the realities. One is something indispensable in the biblical and ancient world. which is a firstborn, has the status of a firstborn. Then you've got the two things that Jacob takes away from Esau. First, his birthright as firstborn. And second, kind of confusing, right? The special blessing his father was supposed to empower him with. So it's kind of controversial, of course, as to what the blessing is. Historical critical scholars say that in that culture at that time, it was almost, there was this idea that the vitality of the father could be transferred onto the son by a special ritual blessing. So that seems to have something to do with it. If we want to apply it more traditionally, think about priests. It's not well known, but the form of an ordination to the priesthood is actually a blessing. So it even says that in early medieval texts. It says that when the bishop comes, he blesses, meaning ordains, the priest. So that's another way you can think of it, is okay, there's this primacy where one who is rich and is blessed to be the firstborn is commissioned to be a leader, commissioned to govern other members of the family in place of his father. So you can think of it that way. Another way, you know, Louis de Montfort is famous for this, for the whole interpreting Mary as Rachel and talking about how she can obtain blessings for you. But most importantly, you know, he goes into this idea of the two brothers, Jacob and Esau. And it's true. It's not some brilliant insight or anything, but you can kind of see, okay, Jacob is the one who sits at home and does things for his mom. He's not rich. He's not powerful. He's like the poor of the Beatitudes, Louis de Montfort kind of wants to point out to us. He doesn't try to aspire to things. Protestant pastors do this too. They have, you know, preaching on this, but he's the poor of the Beatitudes. And then you have the one who's, you know, competent, rich, who's always out there doing things for himself, always successful in the ways of the world. And yet he is not chosen by God, Louis says. So that's another way of kind of reflecting on it. Hebrews, yet another way of reflecting on it. So you see, there's all these different senses. And of course, the original human authors way back when didn't intend for this story to become about our personal journey with God so much. It was just about this dysfunctional family that's chosen by God and the electing power that the father has, of course, to elect one of his sons as his successor and transfer his power to him. But those realities, the firstborn, the secondborn, the transfer of power, those things don't happen in a vacuum, but you can kind of build off of them. These spiritual interpretations where, okay, this can be interpreted in light of Christ this way. This is similar to Christ in this way. This is similar to the church in this way. This tells me this about how I should act and how I should pursue the way of the Beatitudes. So just please pray with me so that we can get a plenary indulgence for spending this half hour here. I'm grateful to be here. I'm happy to be here. And please ask for a plenary indulgence today. Join it with your Mass and your Holy Communion, and you can offer it to set a soul free from purgatory. Our Father, we pray for the Pope's monthly intentions for this month of February. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners. Spread the effective grace of thy flame of love over all of humanity, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.